Welcome to ChiroFeast, where we are serving up big helpings of wisdom in the successful practice of chiropractic, the world of entrepreneurialism, and extra servings of mentorship to navigate this wonderful experience we call life. My name is Dr. Jeff Danielson. I've built, bought, and sold many chiropractic practices and currently own 19 limited liability corporations. I love the entrepreneurial spirit, and I pay it forward through a company called Big Fish Enterprises. I coach and mentor business owners so they don't repeat the mistakes that I made in my career. Every week, we cover a topic that will help make you a better leader and a better entrepreneur. Or maybe it's just going to be a topic that helps you become a better person. You'll want to share these episodes because in life, it is always better to pay it forward. And now, let's get into today's topic. Come and get it, everybody. Chiro Feast is online and we are ready to serve. And yes, I gotcha. Because we've titled this one, Seven Ways a Young Doctor or Intern Can Cost You Money. And it's true. Now, let me just give you a little bit of an idea where we're going to go today. But it's not going to be exactly what you thought when you read the title and said, yeah, I want to listen to that. It is true. Young doctors, young associates, and interns will cost you. So it is true. However, I am the biggest proponent of the multi-doctor chiropractic clinic. I am the biggest. In fact, I will, unless you are a tyrant and just a narcissistic jerk, then, and if you're a tyrant or a narcissistic jerk, you should never lead others. You should never lead a young chiropractor in our profession. So if you are one of those people, you can probably turn this podcast episode off. Because I don't want you anywhere near the future of our profession. However, for the rest of you, be listening in, and we're going to go over ways, and you know this is going to be an interesting walk down memory lane for me. I've had over 70 associates in my practice over the last almost 30 years here, and I have had many, many opportunities to blow money, spend money that I wouldn't have had to if that mistake hadn't been made by a young doctor in my office. However, I'm a glasses half full kind of guy, and by titling this Seven Ways a Young Doc or Intern Can Cost You Money, there are about 1,000 ways that a young doctor or intern can make you money. So, as you listen to this, this is where we're going today. As you listen to this, I want you to take note, not because I want you to be going, oh, yeah, no wonder I don't want to have a young doctor in my office. No. You need to have other doctors in your office because it is the best and most profitable and safest way to practice chiropractic, I believe wholeheartedly. But there are things that you can do to avoid young doctors costing you money. And it's just plain and simple. You want to avoid the mistakes. And so your training and your teaching and your mentoring of young doctors will lead to a savings. So maybe we could call this ways that you can save money by knowing things that will cost you money. So that's where we're going today. So trip down memory lane here, and this memory is pretty raw. I'm going to start with something that may not affect all of you, but I'm going to call it number one, X-ray mishaps. And you'll have to pardon me. I'm got a little tickle in my throat today, so I'll probably cough a few times. But X-ray mishaps. The bummer about an X-ray machine, and again, here's another one. I will always, always, always recommend that people have an X-ray machine in their office. I love being able to see what I'm working on. I love being able to teach my patients what's going on with their spine by pointing to it on a picture. It's just, the visual impact of it is tremendous, but that's a whole nother podcast episode. But the X-ray machine in your office is, you know, something that is not inexpensive to fix. So when something gets boogered up, whether it be with the software, whether it be with the digitizer, whether it be with the Bucky, the cassettes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, ongoing. It's not cheap to fix. This happened recently to me where we were taking pictures. I had some interns that were taking some x-rays, and the pictures were not turning out. They were fuzzy, blurry. I mean, you could not see no image on the picture. You couldn't make out a bone, a skeleton, nothing. It was just cloudy, murky, like you're taking a picture of mud. Okay, I had never seen anything like that. And another doctor went in and looked at it, you know, tried to figure it out real quick, and quickly said, "Something's not right. Something's broken." And so I'm thinking, oh boy, here we go. You know, now we're going to spend $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, you know, to fix this. We've got a bad tube, something. They had called the x-ray company. They did a team viewer into the software. They couldn't figure it out. They figured that it was the tube that was the problem. So the next day, the x-ray company had a tech out. And sure enough, as I turned it on and as I got things kind of booted up and going, lights were all coming on and things seemed to be, you know, looking okay. I'm like, you know, this seems to be working okay. And then we measured the radiation coming out of the tube. Sure enough, there's radiation coming out of the tube. So, whew, don't need a new tube. That would have been costly. So he points at the digitizer and says, well, the problem's probably right there. And I'm thinking, oh boy, yeah, that one's expensive too. So I volunteer to, we took an x-ray of, you know, a piece of, you know, equipment. I said, you know what, let's take a picture of me. And so I stood in front of it. We took a picture of me, and sure enough, it turned out just perfect. We took a few more pictures and everything was perfect. And then we're trying to recreate the problem that was happening the day before, and we couldn't recreate it. We tried by turning the cassette around backwards. We tried doing all sorts of things. We eventually came to the conclusion between three of us, the tech and two doctors, that the exposure button was not depressed properly. The exposure button. Okay, and I've got videos that I show to my interns. I go through a full training process on how to use the equipment. And the guys had, you know, taken a number of x-rays prior to this, but for some reason, you know, it's one of those deals where you push one button, you hold it down until a little light blinks and the machine goes clunk, and then you push the other button to expose, and somehow their fingers didn't do the job correctly. So after all was said and done, I got an invoice that said couldn't reproduce the problem and everything was working just fine. And about $250 later, and they were only in the office for about 20, 25 minutes, off we were going. So the glass half full here is, you know, I didn't have to buy a new tube or a new digitizer. It was not $8,000. It was $250. But all it was misplaced fingers on the exposure button. So we've also had interns, young doctors, grab onto the Bucky and without releasing the brake, move it up and down and actually destroy the brake system. And so they just forgot to release the brake. And, you know, $400 or $500 later, replacing the brake in the Bucky system was a problem. Also, we've got cassettes that are not built into the to the Bucky. We've actually got these cassettes that have to be moved back and forth. And the cassettes, if they are not put into the digitizer just perfectly, if there's any kind of wobble in it, it has to be perfect in there. And you got to slide it perfectly, not too fast, not too slow. If you don't do it correctly, it will jam and you'll get little red lights coming on. And we've had multiple times where we've had had to call the company and had to bring, you know, we either have to have them log in and they charge us for that, or they send texts and, you know, charge us for the trip fees, etc., that kind of thing. Even little things like not putting in the ID number in the right spot. When you're putting the name, birth date, and all that kind of information in there, if you don't get that information in there, it can booger up the system, and one of the people from the X-ray company has to kind of undo the problem. Just a poor understanding of how the machine works can lead to problems, can lead to issues. And I'm not super techie, so I'm not figuring out how to, you know, get that stuff working correctly. I'm always having to call the X-ray company. I think they like me, you know, but they're awesome. I really like the people that we use, Lake Superior. But when a problem arises, you know, they just, you know, the interns, the young doctors, they push too many buttons. They can booger things up and all that kind of thing. But now I'm going to mention the number one thing. And as we're going through this from here on out, we're going to be talking about some different things. And as we're going through this, yes, you're going to be thinking about that young doctor, that associate that you're that you have already brought onto your team, or you might be thinking about bringing on a young doctor to your team. And you're going to be thinking about how you are going to be doing the training for this associate. Or maybe you're deciding, hey, I'm going to bring interns into my office. I want to mentor some young guys and gals and bring them into my practice. So yes, you're going to be thinking about that. But here's the deal. Here's where the real nuggets are going to be for the feast, the Cairo feast today. And that is, think about yourself. What of these things, and the next one here that we're going to get to is going to hit home for you guys, but there are some things that I'm going to be mentioning that I guarantee you, yes, you, doctor, you are not doing well. And if you improve on these, it's not about the young doctor, it's not about the young intern. If you improve on it, your practice will grow. You will be more profitable. You will enjoy practice more if you can do these better. So think about yourself, and the better you can make yourself, the better you're going to make the people around you. So when you bring on a young doctor, an intern, you're going to be able to pour back into them, and you're going to have an outstanding practice. And here's the one thing about X-ray. This is an X-ray mishap that most people don't think about, and it is this: the lack of rapport building during the process of taking X-rays. Taking X-rays is a basic, just, it's not, I mean, it's technical, but it's not technical. You know, you're not asking tons of questions about, you know, where are you feeling pain, and, you know, does it hurt when you do this? And you're not, you know, checking range of motion. It's not this big thought, you know, process that you're going through. I use the X-ray taking process to get to know the person in front of me. I ask great questions about, hey, where did you grow up? What school did you go to? Where'd you go to college? Where'd you meet your spouse? Do you have kids? How many kids? What do you do for a living? Where do you work? What city do you work in? You know, all these kinds of things. I get people talking about themselves. I see it as an opportunity, because taking X-rays, taking, you know, full spine X-rays, etc., is about a 10 to 15 minute process. I'm gonna use that process to find out who's standing in front of me. Who is this person that I'm taking X-rays of? And I want to build some rapport with this person. I want this person to trust me. And the best thing you can do to get them to trust you is if they like you. And, you know, people like talking about themselves, and they love telling you the different things about themselves, where they grew up, what kind of sports they played when they were in high school, what kind of sports do they play now, all those kind of fun things. It's just conversation building. And I know so many doctors and so many young doctors that don't understand that this opportunity, this 10 to 15 minutes you have, is golden. It's an opportunity for you to get to know the person. Now, it is not an opportunity for you to be bragging about who you are. bragging about your practice, bragging about your technology, bragging about your technique. Now, if somebody asks you a question, answer the question, but then turn it into something about them, okay? Use your knowledge of how to win friends and influence people. Greatest book next to the Bible, right there. If you can read Dale Carnegie's book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, take that 10 to 15 minutes to win a friend, to influence this person who's standing in front of you. And this person, you know, I was talking to my interns recently. I've got four interns currently, and I was talking to them recently about the opportunity you have when you have them in front of you to really gain their trust, you know, gain their trust, because the next day when you're doing a report of findings, you're going to be asking them for a commitment. And they just need to be able to like you and respect you so that when you give them a recommendation, they're more likely to say yes. If they're more likely to say yes, they're more likely to receive the adjustments that you're recommending, okay? If you're recommending 5, 10, 20, 50 adjustments, however many adjustments you're recommending, they are more likely to receive that and to actually follow through if they like you and they feel like you have their best interests in mind, okay? Now, number two in the seven ways a young doc or intern can cost you money is doing a poor report of findings. Yep. Doing a poor report of findings. And doctor, I am looking at you. My eyes are burning into you right now. Okay. Because so many of us chiropractors do a bad job with our report of findings. I know some chiropractors that don't even do a report of findings. They basically say, you know, you need some adjustments. Come on in. You know, when you start feeling better, you know, we'll discharge or whatever. I mean, there really isn't a report of findings. A report of findings is absolutely necessary. It just is. An explanation of what's going on, what the problem is, how long it's going to take to fix, even if it's fixable, you know, what you're going to do in order to, you know, get the person better, and then what's it going to cost? You know, these are things that people want to know. And if you're not giving them this information, then how are they supposed to know? How are they supposed to guess at this? So, I've got a whole bunch of things written down here. And by the way, I want to give a shout out to Dr. Brady. Dr. Brady helped me, you know, come up with these. He's been in practice for 1 year. So he was an intern in my office for almost a full year, and now he's been an associate in my office. And I sat him down, and the reason I got his input, and he is such a wonderful and humble gentleman and such a great chiropractor. He's really becoming a fantastic chiropractor. But I wanted his input. Why? Because he made some of these mistakes. He knows what screw-ups he made that cost me money. He knows them. There's been multiple times when he has felt terrible at the mistakes that he made because he knows that they cost me money. And, you know, the bottom line is, you know, in my practice, I don't hold it against anybody. I realize that young docs are going to make mistakes, just like me. I'm still making mistakes. I've been doing this for almost 30 years. I still make mistakes probably every week. But if we can minimize our mistakes, that's always the best way to go. And so when I have, you know, staff members, other people on my team, I know they're going to make mistakes. I just don't want them to make the same mistakes more than once. So if we can teach and mentor, and that's what I'm going to do right now. So, and these are a whole bunch of things that Brady and myself came up with about a poor report of findings. They're in no special order, so I'm sorry, it's just kind of random because we just made this list. Now, once in a while, especially if you're out of network, the checks from the insurance company will go to the patient. So you're you know submitting the bills to Medica or you know whatever insurance company, and because you do not have a contract with the insurance company, the checks can go to the patient. Not all of them do this. In fact, it's more rare, that, you know. But it's probably 5%, maybe 10% of the time that it happens. And if you don't have a Visa card on file, And all of a sudden, people start getting checks for $450, $500, $750. And it's made out to the patient. And they're supposed to bring those checks in to our office and then sign them over to us because it's for their care. But it's check is made out to them. They think they overpaid on their premium or something like that, and off they go. And maybe they stop care, and now you're chasing them down trying to explain it later. So this is a big mistake that young doctors can make by not explaining this process. Okay, second one here under poor reported findings is no explanation of a full care plan. Okay, I mean, do you have a plan? And after I'm done taking x-rays, we just got done talking about x-rays, but after I'm done talking about x-rays and I point at something on an x-ray, I go, this is what I'm going to talk to you about the next time, okay? You've got some really good things I'm going to point out to you, but there is a problem right here, and this is what is causing your issue that you're experiencing. We're going to talk about this, and I'm going to come up with a plan for how you're going to correct this. Are you interested in a plan? And every single person nods their head and says, yes, I want a plan. People want a plan. So give it to them. Give them what they want. Give them a plan. And don't make it a wussy plan. Make it a beefy one. Make it a good plan that's going to make sure that you take care of their problem. And so if you're not explaining a full care corrective plan for their issue, then you're failing. Okay, you're blowing it, and you're costing yourself money. And if you're not having your young doctors do this, it's costing you money. You should be having them record themselves doing their reports of findings so that you can help them and give them feedback. Now, here's a big one. Next one is no explanation of a maintenance care transition. So these are all part of the bad report of findings. You know, a lot of people say, well, I want everybody to do maintenance. You know, I believe that maintenance care is a good thing. Well, when is the first time that you're talking to people about maintenance care? That's what I'm going to ask you right straight up right now. And the answer should be on your day two report of findings. After the corrective care plan is achieved, so after the person comes in a certain number of times and you've corrected their issue, you have to say, at this point, we have corrected things as good as we're going to get them, and now it is up to you and to me to help you maintain this correction. If you're straightening teeth and you're an orthodontist and you take the braces off, the orthodontist will hand you a retainer. And every single person knows how to answer my. I don't say the word retainer. I make them say the word retainer. And every single person answers by saying it. They understand maintenance. They understand that you've got to wear the retainer at night. Otherwise, you're not going to maintain the correction that the braces achieved. And if you don't wear a retainer, guess what happens? Your teeth migrate back. Same thing happens with the spine. If you are not talking about maintenance care on day two, you are blowing it. Because if you wait until, you know, visit 15 or visit 20 after they're done correcting, guess what? The patient thinks that they're done. And then you talk about maintenance care and ongoing, you know, twice a month or what, it doesn't matter what the care plan is. If you talk about maintenance then, guess what? Bait and switch. I thought I was corrected. I thought I was done. Why are you telling me that I need you? How long do I need to do it? Do I have to do this forever? No, if you plant the seed correctly on day two during your report of findings, then it's not a bait and switch, and it won't be the first time that people hear it on day 20. Okay, and you should talk about it sporadically, maybe three or four times during 20 visits or 25 visits, something like that, so that, you know, they're not hearing it for the first time. They're having it come into their brain multiple times, so it makes it an easier transition when you get them to that point. Okay, another thing here is not in the report of findings is not including other services that you have. So in our office, we have massage care, massage therapy. We also have physical therapy in our office. We do custom-made orthotics. Not including these services or, you know, these items in your report of findings is a mistake. Okay, now, it might be a mistake to include all of it, because if you include everything, well, you need to be on, you know, $200 worth of nutrition products every month. You need to do PT. You need to be coming in twice a month for a massage. You need these orthotics. All of a sudden, they're looking at you going, what in the world? This is costing me thousands, and you're just not going to get compliance. But choose something other than just chiropractic. Choose something that makes sense to get them started with. In our office, it's real easy to include physical therapy or massage therapy into their care plan. So it's a mistake to not include that. Other things under poor report of findings: failure to explain 90 plus days of appointments. Okay, it's really important that you, in our office, that you explain that you're gonna book appointments 90 days in advance minimum. Okay, now we've got a lot of people that are booked for a year in advance. A year in advance, we've got their appointments. We've got people that are booked for multiple years in advance because they've been wellness care patients for forever, and they don't want to lose their time slot. If you're not explaining, hey, look, you know, it's a very busy clinic. Our time slots get taken. I want you to get the time slots that you want. So the best thing for you to do is make sure that you book 90 days at a time. So that you get the times that you want. And so we get those appointments in. Most people can do that, okay? There are some people that cannot. My son would be one of those people. My son works at a restaurant right now, and he gets his schedule a week at a time. So he doesn't know when he's working, you know, beyond a week or two in advance. So he can't make appointments like that. People that are airline pilots or flight attendants, you know, they don't know their schedule either. They don't know what days of the month they're working. So not everybody can do that, but 80% can. And if you can get 80% of your practice to book out 90 days or at least a month, you guys, okay? For those of you that are only booking like a week at a time, shame on you. Don't do that. You know, get people on for longer than that. Seriously, minimum of a month. Minimum of a month. Get them to schedule out, because when it's scheduled, it'll happen. 80% of the time, it's going to happen just because it's scheduled. Okay, and you're not leaving it to chance. If people are not scheduled, now there's an 80% chance they're not coming in. Another thing here is failure to explain that we require auto pay. Okay, now there are exceptions. There are some people, they don't want to have anything to do with auto pay. Most of us see the convenience, okay? I love auto pay because there's just, I mean, there's so many things that I don't want to even think about it, you know, like insurance payments or something like that, or, you know, just monthly fees that you know are coming up, you know, your internet service in your house. Why would I want to write out a check every month for my internet service? I want it on auto pay. I don't want to think about it. I know I need it. If I ever don't need it, I'm going to figure it out and I'm just going to, you know, cancel it. So, you know, explain why you do auto pay and that it helps us keep the prices and the costs low for our patients, because it takes less work here if we have people set up on auto pay. So they're paying a month at a time. We even have an incentive for people to pay for a year at a time. Another one here: failure to collect the first plus the first month of charges when somebody starts in the middle of a month. So let me explain this to you. In our office, we do monthly plans for most people, and so people will pay by the month. But let's say it's the 15th of the month. Okay, so let's say it's the 15th of February, and I start a new patient, and you know, we have a certain charge. Let's just say it's $500 for a month of chiropractic care. I'm not going to prorate it and say, okay, the last half of this month is $250. Pay the $250 for the last half of February, and then on March 1st you'll owe, you know, $500 for the first for the month of March. No, I don't do that. What I will do is I will take the next 2 weeks and I will put it together with the following month. So I'll put 6 weeks together and I will have them pay for 6 weeks. Okay. Because I do not want somebody to test drive chiropractic for 2 weeks, feel a lot better after five or six adjustments, and then say, I think I'm done. And now they've gotten a discounted rate because we give incentives and discounts for people that are on our monthly plans and paying cash, et cetera, prepaying. And so I will collect for 6 weeks if somebody starts on the 15th of a month. Now, if somebody says, okay, that's $500 plus $250, it's $750. I can't write a check for $750 right now. Or I can't put that on my credit card. Then I will. What I'll do is I'll cut it in half, and I'll say, okay, if it's $750, we'll cut it in half. You can pay half now and half on the 1st of March. So now they've, you know, paid for some of the month of March, but not all of it. Okay, so there's ways to do that. It gets a stronger commitment from people. Okay, word choice. In a bad report of findings, word choice is important. Belittling, the problem and minimizing the problem by saying, well, you have a little subluxation here or a little alignment problem. It's using those kind of minimizing terms is a bad idea. You've got to use strong words. Okay, when I talk about a pinched nerve, I talk about a choked nerve, a strangled nerve, okay? I talk about nerve, literally nerves being strangled. Why do I do that? Because it adds strength to a nerve not being able to function right. Now, I'm not trying to scare the patient. I am trying to give them the importance and the urgency of the problem. Because if that nerve is controlling their blood pressure, is it a big deal that I get their attention? Absolutely it is. I want them to take care of themselves. And if I minimize and make it not that big a deal and they choose not to start chiropractic, shame on me for not making it a big deal. And they die of a heart attack because, you know, that nerve that was controlling their blood pressure, controlling heart function, or, you know, any one of, you know, 100 different things in their body, and it's my fault because I didn't make it a bigger deal that they were subluxated. Shame on me. Now, because I'm kind of a glasses half full and I'm kind of an optimistic person and whatnot, when I'm showing people x-rays, I will show them something good. I always show them something good because the last thing you want to, you know, show people is all kinds of problems, especially if they weren't that symptomatic when they came in. They're a little annoyed with some things, a little stiff, sore, whatever, but not that big a deal. Wasn't keeping them from doing anything, but they're like, I'll get this checked out. And they get it checked out and you like paint this picture like they're going to die and everything is horrible and you don't show them some good things in their spine, they're going to be like, I don't think I'm that bad, honestly. They're just not going to be with you. But if you point out a couple of good things, look how great this joint is. Look how nice this curvature is up here in your neck. That's pretty rare. I don't see that in too many people. And honestly, if I only saw this upper part of your neck, just looking at your x-rays, I'd say you're like a 30-year-old, not a 55-year-old like you are. But here, if you look down a little bit further, do you see how this part is different? Do you see how this disc is thinner? You've got these beautiful discs up here, but look at this one. Look how thin that one is. And then you point out the urgency of doing something to help the parts that are bad. And call it like it is, okay? Call it bad. And this leads into the next thing, and that is, and this is a huge deal, you guys. Doctors are horrible at giving, putting urgency into their message. A lack of urgency is not going to get people to make a decision to help themselves. You've got to make it urgent, okay? This is a problem. You're going to have to deal with this. If you deal with this later, I may not be able to fully correct this. It is urgent that you get this taken care of. You know, you're likely not going to fall over and die, okay? You know, it's not that. But the longer you wait to take care of this, the harder it is to fix, the more costly it's going to be to you. And in some cases, I'm not going to be able to fix it if you wait too long. So there is some urgency, okay? another thing too is delaying therapies, okay? Now, in our office, we do a handful of things. We do neuromuscular reeducation. Utilizing wobble cushion, we do wall traction, we use intersegmental traction, we do different things. Get them started doing those things right away. Explain the benefit of that. I always say, look, okay, 90% of the value of walking in the office is going to happen right on that adjusting table. So if you're in a hurry and you have time to get adjusted, but that's it. You got to run out the door. You're going to leave about 10% of the value of coming in here on the table, because 10% of the value is actually when you're doing these other therapies, laying down on the intersegmental traction table, or doing the wall traction or wobble cushion, etc. That's 10% more value that you're getting from your visit, and we're going to start on that on day one or day two if you're doing a second day report of findings. So don't delay in getting people to do those kind of things. Get them started with it right away. Another thing with the report of findings is a poor understanding of how insurance works. And this is a big deal for young doctors. Boy, it's really hard for them to understand. They haven't been doing it for long. There was no class in school on how to understand how insurance companies work and how they do their stuff and how to explain it to people. So it's one thing to know how it works. It's another thing to be able to explain it to a patient. So I highly, highly, highly recommend that you train as much as possible with young doctors before they're having to explain it to patients. They need to be able to explain it to you and do it well. And they need to understand it. And there's so many different types of insurance, from Medicare to medical assistance to out-of-network coverage to in-network coverage. You know, what all the things mean, from deductibles to copays to coinsurance to out-of-pocket, you know, maxes, all these different things. So make sure you're training on this. If you are giving poor explanation, okay, and young doctors are bad at this as well, poor explanation of not being symptom-based, okay? In our office, we are not symptom-based. We are, you know, we are very objective, okay? And so we utilize x-ray, we utilize, you know, range of motion findings, etc., palpation findings. Yes, symptoms are part of stuff, but it's not what we're based on. And so if a young doctor in your office is not explaining that, look, it's not based on how you feel, because you're going to feel better very quickly. What I'm saying is, to correct the problem, it's going to be about, okay, let me just throw out a number, 30 adjustments. Let's say it's 30 adjustments to correct your spine. I'm hoping your symptoms are gone after visit five, but that doesn't mean you're done at visit five. You've got to follow through all the way to the end. And I show young doctors how to explain it by drawing a little diagram for people so that they understand that just because the symptoms are gone doesn't mean that the problem is gone. Very important that that is explained. Okay, we're still on a bad report of findings, you guys. This is a big one. It's probably the biggest one where young doctors can really cost you money if they're not doing these things well. Let's see. Next one here is no check-in with the patient to make sure that they understand what you just said. Okay, so if during a report of findings, if you're just babbling and you're talking and you're just tick, 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 you're going through all the things and you're just explaining them, but you're not stopping every once in a while and saying, does this make sense to you? Do you have any questions on this part? Okay. So after you explain what's wrong with a curvature in their neck, do you understand what I'm talking about when I'm talking about this curvature being poor? And get them to say, yes, I understand, or allow them to ask a question. If you're not shutting your mouth and giving people an opportunity to talk and to say they don't understand, you're making a mistake. Okay? Another big one here is an inability of the young doctor to deal with objections. You know, I got to talk to my spouse about this. I can't pay that much. I can't come in that much. There's no way I can come in here three times a week. These are objections, right? If you are not arming your young doctor with the ways to answer and deal with these objections, you have failed as a leader. So you've got to get yourself and your other doctors and young doctors up to snuff on being able to explain how to deal with these objections, okay? And I mean, by far the most common is time. I don't have time to do this many adjustments, and it's money. Okay, I can't afford this. You know, there's a few other ones, but that's another podcast episode as well. Last one here is in a poor report of findings is trying to recover from a poor day one. Okay, if you have a bad day one and you just don't build good rapport, it's going to make for a poor day two. You've got a lot of ground to cover if you're going to kind of make up for a bad day one. So how do you have a good day two? Have a good day one. That gets you a lot closer to being able to have a good day two. So if you are not building rapport and the trust meter, the trustometer, as I like to call it, is not, you know, pretty much full by the time you even get to day two, then you've blown it and you've got a long ways to go to get them to yes during your day two. Okay, so these were two of the seven ways that a young doc or intern can cost you money. X-ray mishaps and a poor report of findings. Doctors, it would behoove you to listen to this podcast again. I know it was a little bit of a longer one, I think close to 40 minutes here. But it's a good one. If you're not doing these things in your report of findings, then clean it up yourself and be able to train a young doctor and to give them good feedback on how to do these things so they can start off their careers well. They're not making their mistakes. They're not losing new patients that walk through the door and then don't start care. You can't afford to have new patients not starting care. You've got to have your young doctors on fire for chiropractic themselves, having a full understanding of what they're doing, how to communicate it to other people, and enthusiastically getting people started on their plans. Okay, so those are the first two. We've got five more, and I think we've probably going to cover these in the next two episodes here on Chiro Feast. So stay hungry, my friends, and as always, pay it forward.
Hey, thanks for tuning in to today's episode. I'm Rachel, the marketing director of Big Fish Enterprises. If you or a colleague are interested in learning the secret sauce to getting a high volume of quality new patients fast, our program, Team Doc, could be the perfect fit for you. Learn more about Team Doc and coaching with Dr. Jeff by visiting www.mybigfishenterprises.com. We'll see you next week.